Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trying to preach after the choir sings and after Artie does her thing makes me feel like I'm kind of preaching like behind Billy Graham or something. But I'll give it a shot anyway. A lot of things in life are challenging. A lot of things in life are difficult. And we all have our own lists of those things, what they might be in terms of the things that challenge us, the things we find difficult. But one that will probably be on many people's list would be parenting. Difficult. I can remember when my oldest son was placed in the car seat, in the car from the hospital, I broke out into this cold sweat because I suddenly realized that I was responsible for this midget man. And I did not really have a practical clue as to what I was supposed to do. You know, you have this idea in your brain in terms of what it's going to take, but when reality hits, you kind of go, whoo. And the thing about parenting is as soon as you get something figured out, everything seems to change, and so it becomes much more difficult to be able to keep pace. And parenting can be frustrating because there are ideas that the parent likes to convey that the child doesn't always seem to grasp. No, it doesn't stop. Simple things. Pick this up. Put this away. Repeated. Over and over and over again. Then the parent becomes exasperated and says things like, "Aren't you listening?" And, "I tell you this till I'm blue in the face," and stuff like that. This is what I understand parenting can be like for some people, because I myself have been blessed with such cooperative and obedient children that I have never had this experience. Lest he feels like he's being picked upon. But there is that experience of having to repeat things over and over again, the simple things in life that you just want them to be able to grasp. We try to teach them the differences between good and evil, from being a nice person and a kind person, about doing things that are considered good in terms of hygiene and other sorts of aspects in life. And they learn these things, but it takes a long time to be able to take it and open the top of their cranium up and pound this information into them so they can finally understand what it means to be a good person. This is how Jesus must have felt. And they were all grown up. So James and John come up to Jesus and say, "Hey, listen, would you do for us what we tell you to do?" Which is a setup anyway, if you think about it. You're not asking, you're telling. "We want to sit on your right hand, we want to sit on your left hand in your glory. We want to be the big boys here. We want to be the ones in charge. We want to be the ones that people look at and say, 'Oh, look, those are the two really good disciples.'" And this just comes literally days after the disciples were having a conversation amongst themselves about who was the greatest. And Jesus takes the time to tell them, "Hey, it's not about who's the best. It's about who's willing to do the most. What are you willing to give? How are you willing to serve? How are you going to help? Not what are you going to get." And so that exasperation must have been unbelievable on his part as Jesus takes the time over and over and over again. You have to admit that probably somewhere in the gospel there was an omission of a line in there where Jesus cried out, "Aren't you listening to me? Would you please pay attention?" And that is the key. Paying attention. But how much do we really pay attention? You have to pay attention all the time. You pay attention when you're driving. You pay attention at work and doing different things. You have to pay attention when you get emails, because you just can't open an email up, because there's all these things out there that are floating around, this malware and these viruses and all this other stuff that I really don't understand. But there's that risk if you open up an email from somebody you don't know and you say, "Oh, that looks like a nice picture I want to see." Apparently, you can get all kinds of stuff into your computer, which will cause your computer to do all kinds of different things. There is one thing that takes place where if you download it, your computer's kidnapped. Shuts down. Can't get anything. And the only way you can get it is if you're willing to pay a ransom. From what I've read, it's been like $300 to $500 to be able to get access back to your computer. And it's serious business, because this has happened to organizations that are supposed to know better. There was a county police department up in Maine that lost access to their computing system because somebody had opened up something they shouldn't have opened up, and they were held ransom. Well, you think, okay, so it's the police. They can get help. And they did. They got the state to come in and help. They got the FBI to come in and help. They had all these great computing brains trying to crack through this thing, and finally, after 3 weeks, they paid the ransom. Because nobody could figure it out. It's a different ransom. We're used to the Hollywood ones, you know, where you go to the Red Book and you cut out the little letters and you make a little sign that says, "Tilda has been kidnapped. You must put $300,000 behind the light post next to the phone booth." It doesn't work that way anymore. So you have to pay attention. Pay attention with those emails that you open up. Jesus, trying to get the disciples to pay attention, concludes today's gospel lesson by talking about a ransom. A ransom to be paid for the sake of the world. A ransom to be paid through his very life. And there's where we really need to begin to pay attention. Because you see, that is the gift of life that God has bestowed upon us. The life, death, and resurrection of his Son for our sake. You see, we're the malware. We're that stuff that's been downloaded that causes all kinds of problems, that has held Jesus for ransom, because deep within us, and sometimes not so deep, as that sinful side of ourselves that comes up from time to time, sometimes because we want it to, sometimes because we can't seem to control it, other times because we're just not simply paying attention. And so we're called really to pay attention every moment of our lives, seeking to be the people that God has called us to be, seeking to live our lives in a way that shows the ultimate gratitude for the fact that this ransom has been paid for our lives. Living out our lives in gratitude for God for this great gift that we've been blessed with, that has changed our world and changed our lives. And it's something that we need to be doing each and every moment of every day of our lives. Because there is no greater gift. When we were born, somebody started cutting those letters out and creating a ransom note for each and every one of us, letting us know that we have been captured by sin. And it is through the paying of this ransom, through this gift of love and grace that God has given us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that that note's torn up, thrown away, and we have been redeemed. We've been saved and given this gift of redemption through His Son. We need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to that so we can seriously seek out ways within our lives to live out gratitude, to prove through what we say, through what we do, and through how we spend our time and our resources that we are people who have embraced this gift that God has given us, that we have paid attention, that we have seen this gift and understand it to be the greatest thing that God has ever blessed us with, and that we seek out each and every day to live our lives in ultimate gratitude by working in a way that allows this world to be a different place, by bringing our own bags to church and filling them up with groceries, by seeking out ways to help our neighbor, by looking throughout this world and seeing what it is that we might utilize to be able to give thanks to God through our actions, by being part of the stewardship program that takes place here in this congregation so living water may continue to grow and to thrive throughout the years. And all of these things, what we do, shows that we have paid attention to this gift that God has given us. And when we live out our lives in gratitude, we're allowing the world to see exactly what it means to be one who has been blessed, one who has been redeemed, one who has been loved, and one who has paid attention to the blessings that God has placed within our lives. We can say thank you all we want. And those thanks are well founded. But the greatest thanks we can give to God is by living our lives out in gratitude, by showing that we truly have paid attention to what God has blessed us with, and seeking out new ways each and every day to be people filled and living out the gratitude of life. Amen.